Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn. I was one of the biggest critics of Obama in the national media. Suddenly, I was under massive IRS attack. So I hired Sam Landis. Sam did an amazing job. We won twice. I didn't owe a penny. Thank you, Sam Landis. Many of you have IRS problems, and you've spent thousands with non-lawyer tax resolution firms. Do yourself a favor. Call Sam Landis for a free consultation. Trust me, Sam Landis is the best. Sam saved my life. Call Sam at 800-WE-HELP-YOU with the letter U. That's toll-free, 800-WE-HELP-YOU with the letter U. 800-WE-HELP-YOU.
Howdy, folks. Colonel Sanders here to tell you about KFC's $10 chicken shares. They're perfect to share with those special people in your life. Choose from 6 pieces of my Kentucky Fried Chicken, 9 extra crispy tenders, 12 hot wings, or a bunch of popcorn nuggets. So grab your buddy, your cousin, your dad, your college roommate, or my friend Joan, and head to KFC. Are you there yet? Okay, good. Now get to sharing and eating. KFC's $10 chicken shares. It's finger-licking good.
At participating KFC's only. Hot wings not available at all locations. Prices may vary. Tax and substitutions extra.
The fate of a bipartisan immigration bill hangs in the balance as yesterday the Senate rejected 4 different immigration bills. But where do we go from here? Congressman Tom Reed says it's all about compromise.
If this is going to be addressed, I think you're going to have kind of a middle ground type of bipartisan agreement. Now, I'm not very optimistic as to what I hear out of the Senate and anything coming out of the Senate, so therefore that doesn't bode well for the future of solving this.
The congressman from New York then continues by talking about the 2 main issues that need to be solved here.
Taking care of the kids that are part of that dreamer population, I think that we can solve that and allow them to have the American opportunity, American dream. But we also have to secure the border. And if you limit it to those 2 items alone, I think there is a solution that can be forged together here.
The Justice Department today announced indictments on 13 Russian nationals and a trio of Russian entities on charges related to the Kremlin's effort to interfere in the 2016 presidential election. This is USA Radio News.
In theaters now, from PureFlix.
Samson, chosen by the living God.
A hero will rise.
He has the strength of a god. I saw it with my own eyes.
My name is Samson, and you will face the wrath of God.
Samson, rated PG-13, may be inappropriate for children under 13. Now playing. For tickets and information, go to samson.movie.
And with a look at things going on around the world, here is USA Radio Network's UN correspondent, Luke Vargas.
An economic assessment by Smith College professor Andrew Zimbalist finds South Korea spent roughly $13 billion to host the ongoing Winter Olympics, but will generate less than $3 billion in short-term revenue. South Korea's government optimistically says hosting the Games will draw in at least $18 billion in revenue in the coming years. But Zimbalist is skeptical, saying meager ticket sales show the challenge of turning Pyeongchang into a popular international resort town. Reuters reports up to 100 Russian mercenaries may have been killed in eastern Syria last week after the U.S. responded with force to an assault on allied Kurdish fighters. In a pattern seen in eastern Ukraine, Russian mercenaries are said to be taking on an increased role across Syria. By relying on contractors instead of uniformed personnel, Russia's government is not required to report on death tolls or injuries. And Germany's foreign minister is asking the U.S. to step up its participation in transatlantic security by doing more than funding its military. The complaint that certain German allies have rolled back spending on diplomacy in the U.N. comes days after President Trump's proposed budget spelled out steep cuts at the State Department, U.N., and USAID. But Ursula von der Leyen did propose a compromise, saying Germany would increase its military spending and push others in Europe to do so if the U.S. remained diplomatically engaged. We'll see if that message reaches Washington.
For USA Radio News, my name is Tim Berg.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on 100 in Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@100in-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, 100inchamberradio.com. Brought to you by the 100in County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
And now, it's the news.
You're listening to Now It's the News. I'm Derek Blair. Well, we talk about politics, we talk about policies, we talk about long, boring, intricate things, history, and, you know, I think it's time that we just need to chill out, maybe have a drink, and kick back. And here to help us do that is Mamrie Hart. She is the author of I've Got This Round, More Tales of Debauchery. She is a well-known YouTuber. Mamrie, welcome to Now It's the News. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. I love that it's like we talk about some deep stuff. Let's go to the shallow one for a second.
You know, I don't think the human brain can operate solely on deep stuff. If we don't have the shallow
absolutely.
Stuff, if we don't kick back and have a drink, how can we survive as human beings? Because we have needs, and not all of them involve the New York Times.
No, sometimes you get so sucked into that news, you've got to cut to, you know, Real Housewives of somewhere occasionally.
I think
for your soul.
I think so.
Uh-huh.
How did you follow your particular path of debauchery, and how did YouTube become the venue for you to do that?
Right. Well, luckily, the power of the internet, there's no gatekeeper. You can create whatever you want. And I was doing traditional comedy while bartending in my early 20s in New York. And so I just decided to combine the two, my two loves, drinking and making lewd puns.
That's a tradition that goes back as far as Shakespeare, I think. So I think you're
I'm pretty vaudevillian. I'd say that would be the time I most connect with.
Okay. Interesting. So like,
yeah.
do you go back and like, do you draw a certain amount from Abbott and Costello, Burns and Allen, that sort of tradition, but with a slightly bawdier, more alcohol-infused approach, perhaps?
I would like to think so. I was blessed with one of those faces that's made of complete rubber. So, I mean, when you got it, you really gotta take advantage of it. It's tough to do any other field.
How did you first, okay, you started as a bartender, and like all of a sudden, like this internet thingy comes along. I think it all took us of a certain age by storm. And how did you realize that this, as opposed to like, say, the stage, was the path to go? And what do you think it is that's really hooked you in to that culture and made you so popular?
Well, when I first started doing the internet, and even, you know, in my early 20s, mid-20s, I was still, you know, on the older side of the people who were putting stuff up online. But what I was doing is I was just trying to get people to my shows in New York and just working my butt off to get just a handful of people in the seats. And then my dear friend Grace Helbig, she was doing the internet, and I just saw how many people you can connect with instantly everywhere. And so the idea that your audience has now gone from a little, you know, comedy club basement theater to a football stadium,
right.
really just kind of hooked me in. And from there, I just have been myself online, and it's a very unfiltered platform. So I think people, they either like it or they don't, and
right.
like friendships almost.
And it's got to help that you can basically like do it from the comfort of your own home. It's more convenient to be a media star than it ever has been before, I think.
Yes, when I have to, when I'm called to set, it's about 10 feet from where I'm standing right now in my kitchen.
Awesome.
I love it. Yeah.
We're speaking with Mamrie Hart. She's the author of I've Got This Round, More Tales of Debauchery. So, you know, I'll put in a long day of, you know, going through the news, you know, producing shows, hosting shows, getting these dry facts together, assembling them into these complicated series of segments. And at the end of the day, I want to relax. I want to check out. What would you recommend for me drink-wise after a long day of doing that sort of nonsense?
Oh, wow. I mean, it's definitely all a preference of what you're into.
Right.
But I'm a strong, I believe starting off with a martini at the end of a long day is a really nice way to end it.
Huh.
Definitely.
Wow.
So, yeah, a martini. I mean, you want to kick right out of the gate. You got to come out with a big opening number.
Wow. Okay. You know, that's interesting because that's sort of a traditional madman route thing to do. You know, high, you know, 1960s approach, and you wouldn't think that would apply in the first quarter of the 21st century. But you're essentially giving me a very traditional drink recommendation here to unwind.
Well, I mean, classics are a classic for a reason, I believe.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Stuck around for a while. Look, it just looks cool.
Uh-huh. It does. It does, especially if I'm there in a gray flannel suit, which I don't have to be because I'm radio. I mean, that's the thing. The costuming is not as essential for me as it would be for you, but I love the blouse, the top that you have assembled for the cover of this book, and I've seen it in a couple of videos that you've done too, and I think it's the perfect match. My image for the end of the day: a gray flannel suit, maybe a slightly loosened tie, martini glass, and kick back, feet up on the ottoman or whatever it happens to be in the side of the luxurious studio overlooking beautiful downtown Medford, Oregon, and I think that I think that's the perfect ending to the perfect day. What do you think?
I think that is fantastic. And what you'll notice from the book cover or from all my videos, one of the perks about bartending from home is it's really only waist up. So I might look put together, but the bottom half is all sweatpants. I'm usually a mullet of a uniform, you know, business
you
on
go.
Top, party on the bottom.
Exactly. You know, I might be wearing a gray flannel coat. Goodness, you know, it's the radio. I might be wearing anything, but, you know, I could be wearing a pair of gym shorts. And that makes it easier to take off and go to the gym, too. I just have to remember to, wear the gray flannel coat top. Exactly.
Yeah.
I got to be careful. Otherwise, I get weird looks at Planet Fitness. We've been speaking with Mamrie Hart. She is the author of I Got This Round, Tales of Debauchery. Where can folks who are not already familiar with your fantastic work online find that, and where can they buy your book?
Oh, perfect. Well, I have a show on YouTube called You Deserve a Drink, which is also the name of my first book. And with I've Got This Round, it's available everywhere in all bookstores, online, Amazon, Barnes & Noble. Or if you go to MamrieBook.com, that has all the links. And it also has links to my tours. I'm doing about 8 shows across the country over the next 2 weeks, which I'm really excited about.
Awesome. Well, good luck. Travel safe and have one on.
You.
Excellent. Mamrie Hart.
Yeah, you said that martini.
I'm kicking it. You know, it's early here on the West Coast, but I'm kicking back.
Oh, no, I'm really pushing it too early.
Maybe so.
Thanks for having me.
Mamrie, thanks so much. Have a good day. You're listening to Now It's the News. I'm Derek Blair.
The Andy Griffith Show, starring Andy Griffith, with Ronnie Howard. Also starring Don Knotts.
Choppers!
Want an easy way to brighten up your day? Get beautiful new window fashions from the number one provider of custom window coverings in North America, Budget Blinds. It's easy because Budget Blinds does it all for you with style and service for every budget. We're your neighborhood experts, and we bring the showroom right to your home. That expertly measure, install, and back it up with the best warranty in the business. Right now, we make it easier than ever with savings up to $500 on select window coverings. There's a reason why Budget Blinds is the number one provider of custom window coverings in North America. See for yourself. Call 855-BUDGET-BLINDS now for a free consultation right at home. Call and get savings up to $500, 855-BUDGET-BLINDS, or go online to budgetblinds.com. Brighten up your day the easy way. Call 855-BUDGET-BLINDS now. Offer good on select products at participating independently owned and operated franchises only. Ask for details.
This message is brought to you by GSK. According to the CDC, we are in the midst of a very active flu season, with much of the country having experienced widespread and intense flu activity. While relatively rare, the flu can lead to hospitalization and death. Since 2010, annual flu-related deaths during regular flu seasons have ranged from 12,000 to 56,000. Cerise Murata, Chief Operating Officer of Families Fighting Flu and a GSK spokesperson, lost her son Joseph to flu in 2009 when he was only 5.
It wasn't until after losing Joseph to the flu that I realized how serious flu could be. People, for the most part, think flu is just a bad cold. They don't understand how serious it can be, how critically important it is for everyone 6 months and older to be vaccinated against the flu every year. And that's why my mission really is to spread that awareness in hopes that we can save some other families from experiencing similar tragedy.
Currently, the CDC recommends that all people over the age of 6 months get vaccinated against the flu annually. Visit the CDC's influenza website, flu.gov, for more information.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you in business, not a member of the chamber? Come to the Hunterdon County Chamber Expo to see what it's all about and meet other business owners. Enjoy the restaurant showcase and enter to win the door prize just for business entries. The Chamber offers special benefits for new memberships during the Expo. So join us at Next Level Arena on Case Boulevard in Flemington on Thursday, November 9th from 2 to 7 p.m. Don't miss it.
This is Tony Clark, para-planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
And now, it's the news.
You're listening to Now It's the News. I'm Derek Blair. It is a crazy time in the world of politics. It is a very divided country, and the insanity level is getting higher and higher each day. And someone who's something of an expert on the insanity is Jordan Klepper. He is the host of The Opposition on Comedy Central weeknights at 11:30, 10:30 Central after The Daily Show. Jordan, welcome to Now It's the News. Thank you so much for being here.
Derek, thank you for having me. I like the title, Expert on Insanity. I'm going to take
that. Well, we can put that right on the Chyron. I think that's important. There's been a lot of talk by Democrats about impeaching President Trump. Is this because he's threatened to expose their involvement in the secret FEMA death camps?
Yes, I think exactly. I think it all comes from the Soros-funded left, you know, and Trump is getting too close. So you can see it. It's just plain as day. It has nothing to do with Russia or collusion or firing Comey. I think you're onto it.
Yeah, well, you know, I think that's very interesting. I mean, Soros, I mean, he's everywhere. I'm glad that you brought him up. He is ubiquitous. It seems like he just pops up in every possible place. He's here, he's there, he's everywhere. And I just wish, honestly, that I were a leftist who was on that payroll, because it really seems like a sweet life being able to go out, you know, I mean, get lots of exercise from protest, you know, take out your aggressions by trashing things, and then get a nice big Soros check at the end of the day. I mean, what could be better than that?
You're looking to get that sweet, sweet paid protester cash, right?
Yeah.
That is a sweet spot to get. I'd say I've been getting my paid protester checks for months now. And I'm smart with them, though. I put them right into the bank. I let that interest grow. You got to be smart with your paid protester cash. Otherwise, you're just going to end up a not paid protester.
Yeah.
And then what are you going to do?
Yeah, yeah. A question about your craft, Jordan. How hard is it staying one step ahead of insane people? Because it's a difficult line. How do you do it? I mean, you've got to pay attention to what's going on. You've got to pay attention to the latest conspiracy theories, and they get crazier and crazier every day. How do you bend your mind in that way?
They really do. I think we get challenged each day with how far and wild things go. And so, I mean, for us, what we try to do is we try to boil down to where the root of that chaos. Even like this week, this idea of like a secret society got floated out there, and immediately it caught fire. And Hannity's talking about it. You have congressmen who are coming to the floor, and they're talking about there is a secret society. They're just throwing gas on this flame. It's distracting from the Russia investigation, but it's suddenly now it's in the back of our heads. Like maybe there is an FBI shadow cabal that we should all be focused on. And so, for us, we're watching this kind of with our jaws dropped. But I think what we look to do is like, all right, we get to play in this world, and so it's moving incredibly fast. Let's try to heighten it to a degree where, like, you see this chaos. You see that it's baldly trying to distract you from something else. Like, let's use the tools and the tactics of this paranoia machine, and let's expand on that. So even if we're not out ahead of the story, hopefully we're expanding on the tactics and showing you how ridiculous those are.
We're speaking to Jordan Klepper. He's the host of The Opposition on Comedy Central weeknights, 11:30, 10:30 Central, right after The Daily Show. You really have to tap into your lizard brain, don't you? I mean, like, because that is what the politics and the language masters kind of do. Because when you hear a phrase like secret society, whether it has any basis in reality whatsoever, it resonates because you conjure up images instantly that are drawn from human evolution, that are drawn from, you know, decades of old movies. You see people in fedoras and overcoats, like, instantly spring to mind, and they tap into that. They access that. So you got to kind of be in that mindset in that what's the craziest thing that could happen, whether it has any basis in reality, and you don't have to have a basis in reality. You just have to conjure the image, really.
You have to you conjure the evocative story. I think secret societies, right? It's just like, oh, that sounds like a story. That sounds like a thing. That's enough of an idea that now I have an image. And I think it comes from a place of, it's that lizard brain, but it's also like it's spouted from people who see themselves at the center of the universe and are the victims of every attack. They live inside an echo chamber in which, like, everything has to bounce off of that echo chamber and validate their own worldview. Mm-hmm. And so if you really distrust the news on one side of the aisle, like, then you will take a nugget and you will turn it into a mountain, and that mountain will be your evidence that allows you to look at the mountain and not at the truth from the other side. So I think, like, it's a selfish mentality. And so I think we try to place ourselves in that mentality. Like, it's about me. It's about my character being right. It's about the wars that are waged against me, big and small, and it's about verifying that worldview day in and day out.
Right. And there really is, as you indicate, a hyper-defensiveness involved. And what I see, unfortunately, is though this has grown from, and it is by and large a product of outlets like Breitbart and Fox News and the Drudge Report and what have you, it's starting to have its effect on the entire landscape. And you see outlets like MSNBC really kind of react defensively to it, and I think develop their own little bubble, their own little hyper-defensive environment in which you kind of develop your own theme lines, and it's maybe not as strong as the other side, but it's there. And I wonder if like that just like prevents us from talking to each other. And what I see you doing is a means of kind of making it so over the top that it just breaks through the bubble. And that's what I'm hoping for. That's what I see the role of satire as being.
Well, I hope so. I mean, I see that pattern as well. You see it going, it's becoming so two-sided. And I think you're seeing these little theories that pop up in the InfoWars and the Breitbart, the Drudges, like mm-hmm. these nuggets of paranoid logic. And so then you see Hannity and Tucker, who I think have also mm-hmm. shifted into this world much more than they were years ago in a way that is quite shocking. And it does feel like if you're getting your news from those sites, it is a completely different narrative than MSNBC, who mm-hmm. agreed. It's feeling like it has to heighten its reactionary response to what is happening there. And I think like it is scary. There's a lot of people who are walking through American politics day in and day out, getting totally different inputs. I think what we look at is we try to see like why is this happening? How is it happening? Like mm-hmm. let's expose that, but also let's play in that as well. I think like we see these far right paranoids. It's like they're having the most fun because they can craft a world in which they are the center. And so it's like let's play in that. Let's show how effed up that can be. Mm-hmm. But I get to have fun being the person who's like, guess what? It's all about me. Welcome to the social media 2018. You can make it all about you.
A completely self-centered world, very much like the one that of late has been established at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. By the way, you bring up Tucker Carlson, and I know you are a person who is at the center of the world of entertainment and news. And I wonder, is it possible surgically to implant a scowl on a human face so that it's there permanently and never goes away?
Well, I think the proof is in the pudding. And the pudding is Tucker Carlson.
It's a very malleable pudding, indeed. We've been speaking with Jordan Klepper, host of The Opposition on Comedy Central weeknights, 11:30, 10:30 Central, right after The Daily Show. Jordan Klepper, thank you for what you do. Fantastic job. Thank you for being with us on Now It's the News.
Derek, thanks for having me.
You're listening to Now It's the News. I'm Derek Blair.
Mike Hewitt here. I used to joke that words like etiquette, honor, respect went out of style with a fedora hat. The problem is, I still wear a fedora, and I've not given up on those three foundational concepts. I'm told to keep up with the times, that there's a new language, a new social norm. Okay, but is this the trade we really want for our sons and daughters? The often mean-spirited exchanges on social media, differences in opinion reduced to one side or both, must be a liar. Foul language in place of thoughtful conversation, sometimes as commonplace as is and was. Times truly are changing. Keep in mind, this change thing is as old as humanity. Societies always change from one generation to the next. Old norms are traded for new, and Rome was built and fell before the Dark Ages. I think we need a course correction. If you agree, let the change begin with us, you and me and our families. For more common sense, visit themikehewittshow.com.
USA Radio News.
The FBI acknowledged that some protocols were not followed after they obtained a tip in January that shooting suspect Nicholas Cruz had a potential of conducting a school shooting. Meanwhile, a former classmate of Cruz is coming out speaking about some of the things he did in his past school years.
I used to always hear stories about him throwing rocks through windows, pulling the fire alarm for fun. No one was really too close to him because it was always assumed that if this were to happen, it'd be him. Someone having the ability to instill that much terror in the people I love hurts.
The FBI said the caller had provided them with information about Cruz's gun ownership, desire to kill people, erratic behavior, and disturbing social media posts in January. Former Republican presidential nominee Mitt Romney announced today that he will be running for a U.S. Senate seat being left vacant by retiring GOP Senator Orrin Hatch. This is USA Radio News.
So 5 months ago, the folks at MyPillow said, hey, you want to try one out? Let us know what you think. Hey, it's a pillow. But I tried it. What have you got to lose? Tell you what I lost. Interrupted sleep. It changed my life. So I'm letting you know you need MyPillow. Well, not MyPillow, but your own MyPillow. See, it stays cool all night, keeps its shape, comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee. Don't like it? Return it. And a 10-year warranty. What pillow have you got that has a 10-year warranty? You can toss a MyPillow in your washer, dryer, and it's like new again. Try doing that with your dollar store pillow and see what happens. And by the way, it's made in the USA. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the 4-pack special, enter promo code USA. You'll get 2 MyPillow premium pillows and 2 go-anywhere pillows for half off. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the 4-pack special, enter promo code USA, or call 1-800-951-8175 and use promo code USA.
And now, it's the news.
You're listening to Now It's the News. I'm Derek Blair. This has been a year of films involving the great British leader Winston Churchill. We've seen Darkest Hour, where he was portrayed by Gary Oldman. And we also saw Dunkirk, which did not actually include Winston Churchill, but just so many of the events surrounding Winston Churchill, though he wasn't portrayed directly on the screen. Certainly all of them were directly involving him. And he is an integral figure in the history of Western civilization, in the history of the 20th century. And here to discuss him with us is Michael Korda. He is the author, among many other books, of Alone, Britain, Churchill, and Dunkirk, A Defeat into Victory. Michael Korda, welcome to Now It's the News. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you very much for having me.
So tell us what your experience was. You were actually a young boy at the time that the Dunkirk evacuation took place. It came, obviously, in the context of Nazi Germany and its military forces rolling across Europe and into France. What are your memories of that time?
Well, I think Alone is in part, but only in part, my memories of that period of time, and bearing in mind that I was only 7 years old then. But because Winston Churchill worked for my uncle, Alexander Korda, the movie producer, during the 30s, mm-hmm. I saw something of Winston Churchill and met him quite frequently. That's not to say, you know, that we had interesting conversations, because Winston Churchill was not particularly forthcoming with children, including his own. But on the other hand, I met him, and I went to school with his grandson, who was, until his death, one of my closest friends. And so I tried in Alone both to give the history of what happened in 1940 and my personal memories of what 1940 was like, 1939 and 1940, and as well to present a portrait of Churchill, which is, I think, admiring but fully rounded. You're right. It's been like an unusual spate of films. He doesn't appear in Dunkirk,
right,
except at the very end. One of his speeches is read by the soldier who has been evacuated from Dunkirk. But he does sort of, his personality somehow intrudes on Dunkirk, and of course, Darkest Hour is about him.
Right. They're two very different portrayals, aren't they? I mean, one is just about Churchill's focused through the lens of him and his very unique personality, and the other, he's a character off stage, but in a way you get the real events of the moment on the ground, perhaps more realistically portrayed.
Well, I think Dunkirk is actually one of the most realistic and perhaps even best war film I've ever seen ever. I enjoy is perhaps the wrong word, but I admire it very much, and I was riveted when I saw it and deeply impressed. I quite like Darkest Hour, and I think Gary Oldman's performance was wonderful. In
Absolutely.
Fact, since I'm a SAG-AFTRA member, I confess that I voted for him for Best Actor.
Oh, breaking news.
Not that I think he's going to win it, you understand. But however, I don't think that good as the performance is that he really captures Winston Churchill's personality altogether. First of all, because Churchill, he portrays Churchill as always talking at the top of his voice. And Churchill did not do that. Churchill was actually rather soft-spoken, and his speeches in the House of Commons were soft-spoken or firmly delivered, but he never shouted. And there are historical accuracies in the film, which I think have to be noted. I mean, first of all, he was not acclaimed when he made a speech. I mean, until the summer of 1940, Neville Chamberlain actually received more applause in the House of Commons than Churchill did.
Yes.
He was still only marginally popular to his own party. The king was not taller than Winston Churchill. They were about the same height. And above all, much of the film is shot in the war room or the war rooms that were built next to number 10 Downing Street as bomb shelters. But in May 1940, nobody was using that because the Germans had not started to bomb England yet. All the scenes with Churchill, in fact, took place at number 10 Downing Street and not in the big war shelter built at number 10 Downing Street. So there are historical errors in Darkest Hour. All the same, I thought that Gary Oldman's performance was a wonderful one, even though I don't feel it altogether portrayed Churchill as I remember him at all. But I thought it was a very powerful performance.
I couldn't agree more with respect to Gary Oldman, given what I've read about Churchill. We're speaking with Michael Korda. He is the author of Alone, Britain, Churchill, and Dunkirk, Defeat into Victory. I would love to get your take, as long as we're talking about Darkest Hour, on your thoughts, because I did particularly enjoy his performance, but the overall film, and particularly one scene, sort of struck me as a little bit odd. And you'll recall, I don't want to give too much away, the scene in which he conducts something of a, I want to say, focus group on a metro train. How did that strike you, having known Churchill, having met him, and having read as so many have about his personality?
Well, we call it, I understand what you mean, we call it the underground.
Yes,
the subway is what it, I don't believe that Churchill ever went on an underground train in his life, but he certainly didn't in 1940. So it's one of the, it just seems tacked on to suggest that that somehow in making contact with real people by riding a subway train, Churchill was given the feeling of their confidence and their courage and enabled to go on. That's a totally made-up scene and never happened in real life. But you know, I grew up in a movie-making family, so I don't ever make the mistake of assuming that a motion picture is a reliable indication of historical events.
Absolutely. You're listening to Now It's the News. I'm Derek Blair.
I'm Will Flitzer in the Situation Room, and you're listening to Now It's the News with Derek Blair.
For more information on Now It's the News, go to nowitsthenews.com.
Investors, you know the age-old rule about diversifying your investments. That's because they all take turns rising and falling. And with the stock market long-tooth rally, we are all talking about not if, but when it falls. So what might be a good hedge? Well, gold has been the choice of many investors since forever. And furthermore, if you want to diversify your IRA, you need a trustee that not only allows it, but has experience, has been offering gold in IRAs for years, also silver. Check out Gold Goliath. They have an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. Ask them the tough questions. Call them at 800-517-3195 to get the information you need to make an informed decision about adding gold or silver to your IRA. Call Gold Goliath at 800-517-3195. That's 800-517-3195 or online at goldgoliath.com.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
And now, it's the news.
We're speaking with Michael Korda. He is the author of Alone, Britain, Churchill, and Dunkirk, Defeat into Victory. Certainly always liberties are to be taken in the context of a film production. I just had trouble knowing what I know about Churchill, and certainly I bow to you in that respect. Seeing him essentially almost taking a poll of the people of Britain as he moves forward to make the decisions he does in May of 1940, seems very at odds with the Winston Churchill that I'm familiar with. But again,
oh, absolutely,
yes.
No, it's a tactile scene. I think it's always valuable to remember about Churchill that, so far as I know, in adult life, after he ceased being a junior army officer,
mm-hmm.
He never tied his own shoes.
Right, exactly. Yeah, he was not exactly what you would call a man of the people. He was probably more a man. He was probably more a man of the 18th century than he was a man of the people.
Yes, yeah, he was the grandson of a duke. He had a marvelous ability to contact with people at every level of society.
Yes,
and I think he had a very real understanding in 1940 and in 1939. Of what the British people felt and were prepared to do. He was not flawlessly in touch with them because he was totally wrong about the feeling of the British people about the marriage of King Edward VIII to Wallace Warfield Simpson, for example.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But in 1939 and 1940, he got it in a way that Chamberlain and Halifax did not, that the British were prepared to resist and that they were willing to accept that that the Germans would have to be fought, and that's actually the critical factor. Is he felt that, but he also understood that people were beginning to feel that. How he knew that is more difficult to say. I mean, he knew it from his contact with his staff. He was also a daily intent reader of every newspaper that was published in the days when there were innumerable newspapers published, because there were, I have no idea, five or six morning papers and four or five afternoon papers in those days, and Churchill perused them carefully and read them all. So he had a great interest in what people thought and how they felt, but that was the way that he received it. I'm not sure that it would ever have been his habit to go asking, basically asking the servants what they thought he should do about the British Army as it retreated to Dunkirk.
Yes, yes. Well, and again, that's how it struck me as well. We're speaking with Michael Korda. He's the author of Alone, Britain, Churchill, and Dunkirk, Defeat into Victory. Something that strikes me coming down historically to us, we have these images of people in Britain at that time huddled around their radios, receiving from on high these words, amazing though they were, from Winston Churchill, and receiving hope and inspiration therefrom. And I wonder, given the fact that you knew Churchill directly, that you lived through that time, is that accurate? Is that sense of one hopelessness in the midst of in the face of the onslaught of a perilous enemy, and then this ray of light shining through oratorically? Is that how one experienced it in that time?
Well, let me try and put it to you this way. Yes, people huddled around the radio, or as it's called in England, the wireless, to hear the news. Bear in mind that Churchill's speeches were never heard if they were delivered in the House of Commons, because the House of Commons wasn't wired for sound.
Right.
So when Churchill's speeches were broadcast, Churchill had to go to the BBC and read them from the record of the speech. The big wartime speeches, actually the first one of great importance was on May 11th, Blood, Toil, Sweat, and Tears.
Right.
And the one, as the British Army began to retreat to Dunkirk, was also one of the great wartime speeches. Yes, I think people gathered around the wireless to listen to it. I know that we did in my family, and I described that in my book Alone. And I want to say this in a way that sounds sensible and not crazy. The distinguishing fact is that the British did not, to borrow the wartime phrase, panic easily. And therefore, there was no general feeling in the public that we would ever be defeated. There was no, I mean, yeah. Of course, people were slightly afraid, but realistic about the possibility of a German invasion. But most people assumed, quite rightly, that a German invasion would be very difficult and might not succeed.
So in a way, psychologically, the British population at that time may have benefited from that both geographical and political splendid isolation of the 19th century.
Exactly. So the distinguishing feature of British life is that we are an island. And so our experience of that moment was very different, say, from the French experience, because the French, as they sat, for example, in Paris, could look at the map and see that the Germans were approaching rapidly.
We're speaking with Michael Korda. He's the author of Alone, Britain, Churchill, and Dunkirk, Defeat into Victory. Before I go, I wanted to bring up one thing. I remember reading years ago, if I'm remembering correctly, it may have been in the New Yorker, a piece that you wrote about your time, because you've known not only Churchill, but a great many figures of historical, literary, and filmic note.
I've been very lucky.
You have, and you spent some time on your father's yacht with Graham Greene.
Yeah.
And I remember you saying, and I mentioned to someone else, I think subconsciously paraphrasing you, that Graham Greene would get up, write 500 words, and write nothing else after noon. And if I remember correctly, that was you. And I've always remembered that as an awfully lovely way to be a professional writer. And
it is, yes. Graham would get up every morning, and he had a little black pocket notebook. Mm-hmm. There's some place on German Street or Curzon Street in London that sells them. I can't remember now. A little black leather-covered notebook with mm-hmm. lines. And he a fountain pen with a very narrow nib, and he would get up in the morning, early in the morning, and he would write exactly 500 words a day. By that I mean that he had a system for count, not only for counting words but counting spaces and punctuation. And when he had completed 500 words, even if it was the middle of a sentence, he would screw on the top of his fountain pen and put it back in his pocket and put the little black notebook back into his pocket, and he was finished his work for the day and was ready for whatever the day would produce. And I've always admired, I've never been able to do it myself, but like you, I've always admired that, because he was very disciplined, but his discipline was channeled mm-hmm. to an exact amount.
Yes.
Even if things were going well, it never tempted him to write 900 words. Right? He wrote exactly 500 words a day, no more, no less.
To me, that is the perfect example of what we have come to call work-life balance, manifested in the 40s or 50s or whenever it happened to be. So again, that's something that I recall from reading your work, and it's covered many decades. It's covered many great historical figures, and I'm so pleased that you've brought it to Churchill. Again, the book is Alone, Britain, Churchill, and Dunkirk, Defeat into Victory. We've been speaking with Michael Korda. Mr. Korda, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
Happy trails. Happy trails.
That's all the time we have this week on Now It's the News. Now It's the News was created and produced by Derek Blair. For more information, go to nowitsthenews.com. Follow us on Twitter at nowitsthenews. And until next week, I remain yours truly, Derek Blair.
Happy trails.
This message is brought to you by GSK.
According to the CDC, we are in the midst of a very active flu season, with much of the country having experienced widespread and intense flu activity. While relatively rare, the flu can lead to hospitalization and death. Since 2010, annual flu-related deaths during regular flu seasons have ranged from 12,000 to 56,000. Cerise Murata, Chief Operating Officer of Families Fighting Flu and a GSK spokesperson, lost her son Joseph to flu in 2009 when he was only 5.
It wasn't until after losing Joseph to the flu that I realized how serious flu could be. People, for the most part, think flu is just a bad cold. They don't understand how serious it can be, how critically important it is for everyone 6 months and older to be vaccinated against the flu every year. And that's why my mission really is to spread that awareness in hopes that we can save some other families from experiencing similar tragedy.
Currently, the CDC recommends that all people over the age of 6 months get vaccinated against the flu annually. Visit the CDC's influenza website, flu.gov, for more information.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News.
The FBI acknowledged that some protocols were not followed after they obtained a tip in January that shooting suspect Nicholas Cruz had a potential of conducting a school shooting. Meanwhile, a former classmate of Cruz is coming out speaking about some of the things he did in his past school years.
I used to always hear stories about him throwing rocks through windows, pulling the fire alarm for fun. No one was really too close to him because it was always assumed that if this were to happen, it'd be him. Someone having the ability to instill that much terror in the people I love hurts.
The FBI said the caller had provided them with information about Cruz's gun ownership, desire to kill people, erratic behavior, and disturbing social media posts in January. Former Republican presidential nominee Mitt Romney announced today that he will be running for a U.S. Senate seat being left vacant by retiring GOP Senator Orrin Hatch. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn Root. I was one of the biggest critics of Obama in the national media. Suddenly, I was under massive IRS attack. So I hired Sam Landis. Sam did an amazing job. We won twice. I didn't owe a penny. Thank you, Sam Landis. Many of you have IRS problems, and you've spent thousands with non-lawyer tax resolution firms. Do yourself a favor. Call Sam Landis for a free consultation. Trust me, Sam Landis is the best. Sam saved my life. Call Sam at 800-WE-HELP-YOU with the letter U. That's toll-free, 800-WE-HELP-YOU with the letter U. 800-WE-HELP-YOU.
Howdy, folks. Colonel Sanders here to tell you about KFC's $10 chicken shares. They're perfect to share with those special people in your life. Choose from 6 pieces of my Kentucky Fried Chicken, 9 extra crispy tenders, 12 hot wings, or a bunch of popcorn nuggets. So grab your buddy, your cousin, your dad, your college roommate, or my friend Joan, and head to KFC. Are you there yet? Okay, good. Now get to sharing and eating. KFC's $10 chicken shares. It's finger-licking good.
And participating KFC's only. Hot wings not available at all locations. Prices may vary. Tax and substitutions extra.
The fate of a bipartisan immigration bill hangs in the balance as yesterday the Senate rejected 4 different immigration bills. But where do we go from here? Congressman Tom Reed says it's all about compromise.
If this is going to be addressed, I think you're going to have kind of a middle ground type of bipartisan agreement. Now, I'm not very optimistic as to what I hear out of the Senate and anything coming out of the Senate, so therefore that doesn't bode well for the future of solving this.
The congressman from New York then continues by talking about the 2 main issues that need to be solved here.
Taking care of the kids that are part of that dreamer population, I think that we can solve that and allow them to have the American opportunity, American dream. But we also have to secure the border. And if you limit it to those 2 items alone, I think there is a solution that can be forged together here.
The Justice Department today announced indictments on 13 Russian nationals and a trio of Russian entities on charges related to the Kremlin's effort to interfere in the 2016 presidential election. This is USA Radio News.
In theaters now, from PureFlix.
Samson, chosen by the living God.
A hero will rise.
He has the strength of a god. I saw it with my own eyes.
My name is Samson, and you will face the wrath of God.
Samson, rated PG-13, may be inappropriate for children under 13. Now playing. For tickets and information, go to samson.movie.
And with a look at things going on around the world, here is USA Radio Network's UN correspondent, Luke Vargas.
An economic assessment by Smith College professor Andrew Zimbalist finds South Korea spent roughly $13 billion to host the ongoing Winter Olympics, but will generate less than $3 billion in short-term revenue. South Korea's government